Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, God bless you, Blood River Radio family. And I know you heard me say it before, but you're not just listeners, you're not just participators, you're a family here. If you're white, especially if you're a white Christian, you are in, we're all a brotherhood. We really are. And there's not as many as us left as I wish there was. But we talked about our surprise guest in the first hour. We're getting ready to bring her on, but I would just like to make one more comment about what Gene is. There's nobody like Gene. He's marvelous. I've never seen a historian as well as to do such a good job. And not only does he have the material down like a computer, it's like he gives you like he's an eyewitness account when he was there at the Battle of Rochester's Crossroads. And I'm going to leave off with this. You know, I'm a runner. I'm a marathon runner. I was running today. It's 101 degrees here in Memphis today. And I'm thinking, how on earth, dear Lord, how do they get enough water fighting in that heat? I mean, you would not believe how much water you drink when you're out running in this heat. It's gallons. I mean, a canteen, two canteens, three canteens wouldn't last you an hour in this heat. Anyway, with that right there, we're going to go to our guest. Yes, ma'am. We got Mrs. Lee McMichaels. Well, everybody knows Mrs. Lee McMichaels. She was on here not long ago, but her husband and her son and one of her neighbors say he'd been sentenced to life in prison. I don't know the exact details of all of it, but I know it was a travesty. You people have probably remember we've done this articles on this before. This won't be the last time we do it. And I'd also like to rededicate. We dedicated the show on the first hour to Mr. Buddy Kirtland. God bless him. He's like an older brother, like a dad to all of us. And he has been in this case from the get-go, from day one. He's you name it, he supports Blood River Radio. He supports the Forest Home. I mean, he's just totally selfless, him and his wife. But and I hope he's healing better. He's had bypass surgery. But God bless you, Mr. Buddy, if you're listening out there. We all love you to death. That's true. And you've really been worried about Mrs. Lee McMichaels and her family. So with that, Ms. McMichaels, go ahead and just introduce yourself briefly.
Okay, I'm Lee McMichael. I live in Brunswick, Georgia. It's a nice little coastal town on the southeast coast, about 60 miles from Jacksonville, Florida, between Jacksonville and Savannah. And we live in a little neighborhood. They said it's an all-white neighborhood, but it's not. It's a multiracial. There's different races in this neighborhood. Very good neighbors. And I don't know if y'all know the story, but my husband has been in law enforcement for over 30 years, 38 years, I think, to be exact. And my son, who is 37 years old, was in the Coast Guard for 10 years. And we had a year and a half of burglaries going on in the neighborhood. And the person who was breaking into cars and taking stuff out of people's yards and tearing, I think he cut a screen going trying to get into a house. He kept getting away. Nobody could ever catch him. And there was a house under construction down the road, and a video picked up this young black male in that house over four times. And the owner of the house had called the police each time he was there. The police get there and he would be gone. He was plumbing around the house. At one point, the owner of the home told the police that over $2,500 worth of electronics off his boat, he had a big boat, we live on a river, was missing. And you see the videotape of the guy just rummaging around the house in the middle of the night, you know, midnight, 10 o'clock at night. One night, my son went to get, he worked at, had the highest security clearance in the United States because he worked at Kings Bay Naval Base. He was a contractor at the base. He escorted. He loves the water, loves boating, and he escorted the subs in and out of the base. Well, one night he has a little car that he drives back into. He has a truck that he used to ride around town, but he was going to the get gas on his truck and went down the road and saw the guy hiding behind a portalette in the front of the yard. And he turned the car lights on him, and the guy was hiding. And then he went into the house, and he reached down in his pants like he had a gun. Travis called the police. The tape of the police call, we have a website out. It's called McMichaelTrial.com. All of this information is on that website, and that tape of Travis's call is on that website. He told the police it looked like he had a gun. He was going into the house. We had a lot of burglaries. Police came around. He was gone. The next week, I believe, or maybe 2 weeks, 10 days later, my husband was out on a Sunday afternoon, February 23rd, was on the driveway. He was reupholstering boat cushions for our boat. And Travis has a three-year-old son. At the time, he was three, that he had split custody with the mom. They were, you know, were separated. She moved back to where she's from in Florida. And he had the child 1 week, and she had him. He was renting a home that they had sold, so he had to move back into with us. That's why he was here. And he was getting ready to move out. But anyway, he had Everett here and was trying to get him down for a nap on a Sunday afternoon when his dad came in and said, hey, that guy, because Travis and Greg had seen this video over and over again, that guy that was in that house just comes sprinting by here. He was hauling butt. So Greg got his gun. Travis got his shotgun. They went out in the truck. There was a neighbor down the street that saw him in the house. He had his gun. He called the police. Well, the neighbor was walking up the road, waving like he's going that way. They jumped in the truck, and they pursued him, and they tried to stop him to talk to him. They approached him four times with no incident. Travis had extensive training in how to negotiate and how to stop someone like that. I can't remember enforced training. I can't remember what it was in the Coast Guard. And he said, hey, buddy, pull over. We just want to talk to you. We want to see what you were doing down there. He kept running. And when Travis said, you know, we've called the police, he turned and ran the other way. Well, Greg had left his gun on the ironing board in the garage. Travis thought his dad had called the police. They followed him, and another neighbor got involved when he saw him running by. And he got behind Greg and Travis, and he tried to stop him also, and he started filming the incident. And at one point, Travis and Greg lost him, so they sat in the T of the road, and they said, well, when he comes back this way, when the police come in, we can show him where he went. Well, Ahmad decided to attack Travis. You can see him running up the road toward Travis. You can see him as if he's planning on his move. He moves toward, across the back of the truck, starts running at Travis. Travis picks up his shotgun to deter him. So he goes behind the truck, goes out. He had plenty of room to run across the yard. He had plenty of room to run straight. But instead, he goes in front of the truck and turns left immediately and tries to take the shotgun away from Travis. And he gets shot. And he is beating Travis in the head. You can see the fight, and he ends up getting killed. Well, the Greene County Police Department took it, investigated it. Greg was retired from the DA's office, and she immediately turned it over to a different DA in a different county. And the police department investigated it and turned it over to the DA in the other county. And their conclusion was it was self-defense, that he had attacked Travis. It was a citizen's arrest law in the state of Georgia. It was all legal. Barnhill wrote a why he believed it was legal, what law they followed, and why they were innocent. And that is also is in our, at michaeltrial.com. That whole thing that he wrote up is in. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry.
Oh, don't you worry about that. That's nothing. That's nothing. I've done shows with kids on my lap.
Anyway, so then, got me scattered. But then,
well, you know what?
Yeah.
Don't you worry.
Go ahead,
Ms. Mike. I was going to say before
well,
you are not. Did you know you mentioned, Ms. Michael, I cut you off, but you mentioned these cameras. This Ahmaud Arbery, if you go into American Renaissance, that's October the 26th, you can see on the October the 25th, November the 18th, December the 17th, February the 11th, and this other date doesn't show too good, the same poor innocent jogger is seen. He's seen dead video camera. They don't lie. He's burglarizing these construction sites. He's in there just like Miss Michael talked about. He runs. When the truck lights, the car lights shine on him. He runs inside this building. If you go to American Renaissance, you can pull that up, and you can also see Travis McMichael's blood all over him, his whole body after this poor harmless Negro attacked him. So, people, hold on to your seats. We're going to go right back to the precious Miss Leah McMichaels. Bless her heart. So, we'll be right back. Let's just break, people.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Calling all patriots, come meet a modern-day hero, Tom Jones, on day 68 of his 76 marathons in 76 days on behalf of the American Village West. We'll be at the Liberty Hall in Far West, Utah on Friday evening, June 24th at 5 p.m. There will be free food and drinks. Who is Tom Jones? Loving Liberty's Sam Bushman interviewed him on day one in Alabama just moments before he began his first marathon. Get to know Tom at UnitedWePledge.org.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you have to say something.
People, we were in here. We have my precious little sister. I consider her a sister. She's white. She's Christian. She's also a registered nurse, so we have that in common, you know. But we're talking about Miss Leah McMichaels, her husband and her son. Her husband Greg and her son Travis. They were absolutely railroaded in a Soviet show trial. The judge in that thing, the district attorney, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. That dude should be I would drag him behind a pickup truck. I mean, I despise those people like that. But anyway, I'm not going to go too far off the deep end here. We're going to go right back to Miss Leah. I didn't want to interrupt her, but I would just like to say one more time, if you will go, there's probably other photographs, but if you go to the American Renaissance, November the 26th issue, if you go, they did a really good write-up there. I have some, but, they have plenty of photographs of this Ahmaud Arbery doing what he does, those people do best, burglarizing houses. Not only that, he'd been seen peeping in other individual houses. Miss McMichaels can't remember everything, but other people in that area had to get their children in and shut the windows and stuff because this feral black animal was seen looking into these houses, peering, probably looking for somebody he could rape. But also, the photographs you need to look at, Travis. I mean, it looks like somebody took an ice pick to his face. There's so many, it looks like puncture wounds and blood all over his face, his neck and his right arm. It looks like there's a gash torn out of his elbow area. There's blood all over him, blood on his back. I mean, he'd been one hell of a fight. That's exactly what happened. So he's fighting for his life against this feral animal. So anyway, so if you will, people, just go back to, if you need any more information about that, you can contact us at bloodriverradio.com in case you forget that. But we're going to go right back to me, Miss Sister Leah.
Okay, I'll pick up where I left off. So anyway, yes, the DA in Waycross, Georgia, the family started raising Cain because his son worked at the district attorney here in Brunswick. And they thought it was a conflict, so the Attorney General Carr gave it to Tom Durden in Hinesville, Georgia, and he was studying it. Meanwhile, the pressure was getting pretty bad around here. People were saying it was a murder, and they were getting away with it. So my husband himself got the video and gave it to a local radio station, and it went viral, which he meant for it to do. He thought it would show that this, he never would have given it if he thought it didn't show that this was a self-defense case. And the family got Lee Merritt and Crum, and immediately New York Times came down and interviewed him. And it immediately became the narrative that he was a jogger, an athlete, that they chased down because he was black and killed him and shot him in the neighborhood. He wasn't doing anything but jogging in the neighborhood, and they chased him down and killed him. That was the narrative. And that narrative stuck. So Governor Kemp, I know in my heart of hearts, called Reynolds, the director of the GBI, and they had a GBI agent down here plus 40 on the 6th of May. I think it was the 6th. On the 7th of May, they came out and arrested my men, and it was staged. I came home from work, and there were press everywhere, CNN, ABC, local news stations, and I thought to myself, what is all the newscast doing here? And I came home, and my son and his son, the baby, were getting in the boat, getting ready to go for a boat ride, and my husband was out walking the dog. The dog came back on the leash by himself, and I thought, what in the world's going on? And about that time, two GBI agents and four FBI or whatever in full dress with the bulletproof vest, full garb, came down to the dock and said, Travis McMichael? He said, yes, sir. He said, come up here. And so he came up on the dock and disappeared in the front of the yard, left his son sitting in the boat. I went and got his son. And that's the last time he's seen his son. His son was 3 years old at the time. And the child wouldn't let me go out in the yard by myself because he's afraid men are going to come get me.
My God, Miss McMichael, did they leave that child in that boat by herself?
No, they did not. I was standing on the dock with
them. Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
And the GBI agent told me, he said, go get that child out of that boat. And I said, if you get out of my way, I will. Because he was standing right by the ramp to go to the boat. So I went down there and got the baby. And called his mama to come get him. And that's the last time he's seen his daddy. And
God Almighty.
And like I said, every time I walk out in the backyard, for two years he wouldn't go out in the dark. He's just now, he'll be six. In September. And he's just now getting where he'll go back out in the dock, and he's hated boats ever since. And he remembers.
Bless his
heart.
He talks
to his daddy. His daddy calls him daily. He tries to talk to him daily. And when he's here, he talks to him, and I get him a lot. His mother's very, very good, very decent person. But anyway, that was, they took him. The thing about it is Greg is well-known in this community. Travis, we all are. I grew up here. My parents came here in 59. He was a physician in this community, well known. Greg knows all the law enforcement. He's worked with them for 30 years. All they had to do was pick up the phone and say, "We have a warrant for your arrest." I would have taken them to the jail. They weren't going anywhere. They'd been here 3 months, knowing what was going on. They would not have run from this. And every law enforcement agent out there knew that. But they had to make the press. They opened the doors. They handcuffed them out front in front of the press. They opened the doors of the car so the video cameras could film them sitting in the back seat. It was disgusting. And took them to jail. After that, Tom Durden, the DA up in Hinesville, made the statement that he was going to put this before the grand jury, this before they got arrested, on the 6th. On the 7th, Lee Merritt was on Good Morning America TV, and he said the family wants to forego the grand jury. They want them arrested now.
Oh, they're going to forego the law. They're going to say the hell with the law then. That's what they said. The hell with the law.
Well,
we want those white men.
They said the hell with the law the whole time. They said it the whole time through this whole process. So they get arrested. We wait for the trial, for the bond hearing. On the bond hearing, the judge said they are at risk to, he basically called all of their character witness liars. He basically called us all liars. And he said that they were a risk for fleeing. They're a flee risk. They were going to run. Well, we didn't have the money to run. And plus, they know better. They know better. Everybody knows better. When the trial came up, before the trial, they had demonstrations in the neighborhood every weekend. They had the new Black Panther party with their machine guns walking around in the neighborhood all day Saturday. The residents were scared to death. The neighbors got threats, phone calls, human feces in the mailbox, letters, everyone involved. Roddy, Larry English, who owned the house, he got death threats. The guy who saw him and called the police the first time, he got death threats. And so everybody was scared to death to testify. So the guy who owned the house, his story changed from $2,500 worth of equipment was missing to and that he was rummaging around his house to he stopped to get water because he was thirsty. And to, the equipment could have been missing at my other house in Douglas. I don't know. My boat may have been in Douglas at the time. But they've got him on tape saying that the boat was here. But he's scared to death. We couldn't get any witnesses because everybody was chicken. They didn't arrest Roddy right off. It was like Roddy was arrested like a month, 2 months later, I think. But they kept questioning him and kept badgering him and kept, thinking this was a conspiracy and he was involved and made him feel that way. So Roddy, after his last interview, said that Travis stood up a dead body and called him an F and M.
This is Miss Leah, we got to go to a break. I hear the music. I don't know if you can hear or not, but we're going to continue as soon as we come back. And I'm just absolutely on fire. I'll be right back, people. I hope you're listening to this, and I hope it doesn't happen to you next.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin says it's temporarily suspending abortion services in the wake of the U.S. Supreme Court ruling overturning Roe v. Wade. At issue is a 173-year-old state law in the books that says it's a felony for virtually any abortion to be performed, except in instances where it is needed to save the mother's life. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call said he would not enforce abortion bans in his state. In Massachusetts, Republican Governor Charlie Baker signed an executive order implementing legal protections for reproductive health care providers who serve out-of-state residents. More than a dozen states have trigger laws on the books that would criminalize abortion almost immediately, if not sooner, upon the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt announced the Show Me States ban on Friday. This is USA Radio News.
Paid for by GovMint.com.
Have you heard? The United States Mint has issued the Morgan Silver Dollar for the first time in 100 years. Not only that, but they are also minted in 99.9% pure silver for the first time ever in history. Coin experts are calling this an amazing opportunity for anyone that knows the enduring popularity of Morgans. But you must hurry. Only 175,000 legal tender silver dollars were issued. These Morgan Silver Dollars are brand new, bright and shiny legal tender coins minted by the iconic Philadelphia Mint. Just call 1-800-888-7630 and you are guaranteed a new 99.9% pure silver Morgan dollar. The first time in history this has happened. But with limited quantities, you must call now to order. To learn more, call 1-800-888-7630. If you order now, you will receive a free collector bonus, a $25 value free with every order. Call 1-800-888-7630 now to secure your new Morgan silver dollars before they are gone. That's 1-800-888-7630.
At least two are dead, 10 others injured in a shooting at an Oslo, Norway nightclub. Investigators identified the suspect as a 42-year-old Norwegian citizen from Iran. The Norwegian Police Security Service first became aware of the suspect in 2015. They became concerned that he had become radicalized and was part of an unspecified Islamist network. The incident prompted officials to raise the country's terror alert. The last of the 21 victims in the Uvalde, Texas school shooting was laid to rest on Saturday. Uzziah Garcia's funeral was held at a Baptist church in San Angelo, where he lived before moving to Uvalde last year. 19 children and two teachers were killed when a gunman opened fire a month ago. Police response to the incident has been heavily criticized ever since. Wall Street on Friday notched only its second win in the last 12 weeks. The Dow finished 1,612 points higher. The Nasdaq added 809 points. The S&P 500 was higher by nearly 237 points. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Dear Blood River Radio family, if I sound too harsh when I'm getting ready to say, just so be it. I was just talking to our guest and my brother Rand during the break. I've come to the point where I'm almost ashamed to be in the white race. You know what? There's no other animal on the face of the earth. No birds of prey. The cat family, lions, tigers, bobcats, the canine family, dogs, wolves. They will not turn on their own kind. They will fight for their own kind in pack mentalities. There's no other race of so-called humans or humanoids that will turn on each other. The blacks will not turn on each other. They'll kill. They'll lie. They might kill each other in the daytime, but at night they're going. At nighttime, but in the daytime they're going to stick against whitey. That's all they bore with hatred in their heart. The Hispanics will stick together, and God knows Jews will. Our white race is the only race, the only species on the face of the earth that are self-haters, and they're such cowards. I despise a coward, and I'm going to put this out there. These witnesses, these people down there that could have come to the McMichaels' aid, and you knew your witnesses, you knew you could help them out, but you are intimidated by the stinking FBI and the TBI. You know what? You don't deserve to breathe air. And I hope the next travesty that happens, I hope the next person that gets killed or raped, God forbid, I hope it's not a good white Christian. I hope it's you stinking race trading cowards. I hope it happens to you. And you know what? If it happens, I'm just going to say, too bad, so sad. We won't raise one penny for your benefit. We won't spend 1 second dedicating our show to you. Miss McMichaels is fighting this battle all alone. I mean, the travesty is unspeakable. It infuriates me. It should infuriate the hell out of every good white person out there. Now, Miss McMichael, I hope you didn't lose your train of thought, but I'm going to blast these worthless race traitors to hell, these cowards to hell. But go ahead, Miss Leah. Go ahead, dear.
Okay. Let me say something about that. I am angry about it, and I hope they never have to go through what I went through. But in some way, I do understand, you know, being through it, when they have small children, what they're doing. But it is a knife in my back. It is a knife in my back. Anyway, so I can't remember where I was. So Durden said that day that he was going to take it before the grand jury, and Lee Merritt on Good Morning America said the family wanted to forego that, and I want them arrested now. And they were arrested that day. So then that night or the next night, Tom Durden gets a phone call, or supposedly Tom Durden called A.G. Carr and said, I don't have the manpower in my office to handle this. But what I believe happened is that and they said that the GBI took the case from them and took it to Cobb County Attorney General. And they picked it up. Now, during the motion hearing, I'll go back to Roddy. During the motion hearing, Roddy said that Travis called him F and N. And what Roddy was doing was trying to turn state's witness.
What a piece of garbage.
As our investigator says, Roddy's truck was 90 feet away. He had the windows up. He was hard of hearing. The phone was on the bed of the truck when all this happened. Greg jumped out of the truck, and you can hear the recording on our website, mcmichaeltrial.com. The phone was on the back of the truck when Greg called 911. And you can't hear it. The police were there within seconds. They were right in front of my house when the shots occurred, and they were right there within seconds, and you can't hear it. And the tape, you see Travis walking away from the body, so he never even stood over the body. It didn't happen. They say that, you know, the FBI and the GBI probably enhanced that tape 10 times to try to hear it and couldn't hear it. And Travis was on the stand testifying, and if he had said it, I think that the prosecuting attorney would have asked him if he said it. And she never even went there. Plus, this came up in the bond hearing. GBI agent Officer Dial said that Roddy said that. So that was hearsay anyway, but anyway, nobody stopped it. And the press took that and ran with it. And they're still running with that. But it never came up in the trial, in either trial, in the federal trial or this trial. It never came up. And because they know it didn't happen. So I don't understand that. But then we go to trial 2 years later, a year and a half later, in October. And first we had the preliminary hearings of what can be held in trial. We had expert witness on use of force. That was the training Travis had in the Coast Guard. We had an expert in use of force to say that Travis did everything he could to try to calm the situation, have this young man sit back and listen, stop running, you know, and he used his shotgun properly. The number one rule is don't let anybody take your gun away. The second witness we had an expert witness. I can't exactly remember what he was. We weren't allowed to use. He was a witness, a physician that could testify to paranoid schizophrenia, which Ahmaud Arbery was diagnosed with at a younger age, and he was not on his medication, and the autopsy showed he was not on his medication, and they had marijuana in his system, which makes this paranoid schizophrenic more aggressive. We weren't allowed to use that witness. We weren't allowed to use any expert witnesses there. And we weren't allowed to bring up his past. We weren't allowed to bring up his mental illness, which showed that he would have been aggressive, would have attacked Travis. It would have been a defense mechanism. I mean, that Travis had to use defense, self-defense. We weren't allowed to use that. We were not allowed to use anything. And the judge just wouldn't allow it. And then at the end, during the trial, they fed, I think there was 500 people that were fed in the community. They had food trucks around the courthouse. The Black Panthers were on the steps of the courthouse giving speeches every day. Politicians had little booths out around the courthouse, you know, selling hats or whatever. They were marching around the courthouse saying, justice, no justice, no peace, or, you know, Brunswick's going to burn, or whose courthouse is this? It's our courthouse. And I'm sure the jury heard them. I'm sure they had to move the jury. I don't know. The jury was not sequestered. They got to go home every afternoon on the weekends. They were not sequestered. Our lawyers asked that the judge charge the jury every day and ask them that if they heard anything, ask them if they heard anything about the trial, and he didn't do it. He said he left it up to the bailiffs to do it. Then when they went to read the charges to the jury, Georgia had, because of this case, Georgia changed the citizen's arrest law. And the citizen's arrest law was, you know, if back during the time this happened, if he is fleeing and they have reasonable suspicion that is a felony, then they can chase him. If the judge read that charge, is it has to be the same day, you know, it has to be, they have to see him with the felony the same day. And they're saying that Travis and Greg did not see him in the house, which they didn't that day. But they had seen him in the house on 3 or 4 different occasions. And so he charged the jury. I can't blame the jury. He charged them in a way that there's no way they could have found him innocent. And at one point, our lawyer stood up and said, you gutted our case. You know, you just gutted our case. And sure enough, they were found guilty. And then they were given, Travis was given life plus 20 years. And we had to have a moment of silence for Ahmaud Arbery, and he was had to lecture him, and it was hard on my son, because my son has never done anything wrong. He's always loved the law. He's always loved this country. He said he would die for this country. His favorite holiday was 4th of July. I mean, that he is one patriotic young man. He loved the Coast Guard. He had nothing but accommodations in the Coast Guard. He saved a child when he was 17 years old from drowning, and it was a Black child.
We have to go to our last break, Miss Leah. And by him loving this country, I hope that's a wake-up call to all you other patriotards out there. As people, we'll be right back. This is our last break. I can't wait to get this lady back on as soon as this commercial's over. Be right back.
There has been no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
The 2020 elections were one of the most corrupt in history. See the proof for yourself.
We tracked 2,000 mules making multiple ballot drops.
2,000 mules. The shocking new movie from Dinesh D'Souza.
One mule made 53 trips to 20 drop boxes.
2,000 mules. Join the special virtual premiere and Q&A on May 7th. Get your tickets now. Available only at 2000mules.com. 2000mules.com. Sponsored by Salem Media Group.
This is Attorney Jason Ruff, General Counsel of the Knights Party, based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more while listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, dear Blood River Radio audiences, there's about 3 points I would like to address what Ms. Michaels has brought up, and before we go back to her. Secondly, Ms. Michaels said that the jury had no choice but to convict because the judge did so-and-so. Well, there's this little guy named John Jay. He was the very first Chief Justice of the very first Supreme Court of the United States. And he said, and I'll paraphrase, each time a man goes into the courtroom to be tried, he said, each and every single time, the law, the very law itself is on trial. And that the jury, back in those days had sense. They decide whether that law was a just law or an unjust law. If the law was unjust, then the defendants would be turned loose. They would be justly considered innocent. Another salient point Ms. McMichaels brought forth, the jury was not sequestered. They had to leave the courtroom every day and go through this mob of feral animals and just and foaming at the mouth, self-hating whites and communists, you know, Antifa, and the whole scumbag. And also, one more point, and we'll go right back to Miss Leah. There's a law in the books back, probably started back in the 30s, when back then, Al Capone days, when the courts used to try these mafia dons, these gangsters. Well, the gangsters would bring all their buddies into the courtroom and, bandish these bad looks, maybe some weapons, I don't know, but they were there to intimidate these visitors that the mafia bosses had. They were there for one purpose, to intimidate the audience. Well, that's what there was a law passed where they could not do that. You couldn't have these thugs in the courtroom. Well, they got Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, and all these other Black Panther people. They were in there. Once again, another law was just trampled over. So you people, you patriotards out there, you think, especially you white Southern Christians, you think you're a part. You're not a part of the United States of America. You have no representation. You have no government. You're just like Dr. Hill said last week, we are a nation without a government. We don't have our own government. But anyway, so I hope you have any illusion of you living into a good country. If you're white and Christian, I hope that is kicked. I hope that's beaten out of you by this interview. Anyway, I'm going to shut up now, Miss Michaels. But I'm really fired up about this. Go ahead, Sister Leah.
Well, I don't know what to say except that that they got life plus 20. I mean, Greg didn't. He may have taken his weapon out of his holster, but he didn't even point it. He was in the back of a pick truck, and poor Roddy, all he did was ride behind and film. And by saying that Travis said that, he started all this. I mean, he put the race thing in there. If this man was white, it would have ended up the same way. If this man was Asian, it would have ended up the same way. If this man was Indian, it would have ended up the same way if it had happened that way. The only difference is if he was white, you never would have heard anything else about it.
Oh, no.
But But it's a sad day. I mean, they're the ones that made it a racial issue from day one, and the press ran with it. And there was pictures on Facebook of my husband at KKK rallies, which he's never been in the KKK all of his life. I mean, to be a district attorney investigator and a law enforcement agent for 30-something years? No. And my son, the highest security clearance in the nation, working for the Coast Guard. I mean, you know how the laws are with the Coast Guard, with the military nowadays. And also, you know, to be on a Navy base, it just can't be that way. I mean, I just don't understand where their thinking is. But the saddest part about this whole thing is I sat back and I thought to myself, okay, Kemp orchestrated this thing. I do believe in my heart of hearts. You know, it's not proven, but I believe it. Reynolds, you know, Carr.
Yes, Vic Reynolds is the head of the DA, the Georgia Bureau
of Investigation.
He's the head of the
DBA. Well, I was sitting there thinking, and Wamsley, I don't know if Wamsley was involved or what was going on. I don't know. I can't say anything about that. He's the judge, and I just have to respect that, I guess. But anyway, Kemp and Reynolds, and I was thinking to myself, well, I wonder when the promotions are going to start. Well, just this morning, I sent Eddie a copy. Reynolds has been chosen for a Supreme Court judge in Cobb County. Imagine that.
Wow.
He got his, and of course it was all based on this trial and this case, and he talks about the truth, nothing but the truth, and honesty, and the GBI, and how they came out here and found enough evidence day one after the Glynn County Police Department had investigated this thing for 3 months. And believe me, they showed no favors. And please go to our website, mcmicheltrial.com. It has all the information about Ahmaud. It has all the information about the politics that are involved. And in the end of July, we will have the trial information. But please, and it has the biographies of me and my family, who are just hardworking Americans, normal family, trying to make a living and survive. And because we're not politically entwined or have a lot of money, you know, my husband and son are being made examples of and will sit in prison if we can't get them out through appeals, which I'm trying to earn money for. If we can't get them out on appeal, they will spend the rest of their lives in jail. And Greg, his health's not well, and I don't know if he's going to make it another couple of years the way he's going. And they will go to a state pen after their August 8th. They're sentenced federally, but they have to go to state penitentiary first. And they've had so many threats that I don't think either one of them will survive that. They'll be killed.
Didn't you, Leah, didn't you say that the state people have already made this statement that once they get their hands on those two gentlemen, that they won't live? In other words, they wouldn't have threatened. It's like a promise that they would kill them once they get to the state prison.
Well, what the prisoners, I mean, from what Travis is telling me, from prisoners that are coming and going, that they know who they are and they're just waiting for them. And they are going to try. I know the state's going to try to keep them as safe as they can. Their federal lawyers wanted them to make a deal with the federal case so they could go to a federal prison because it's safer. But the family, Ahmaud Arbery's family, raised so much cane that the federal judge wouldn't allow that. Isn't that amazing? They're listening to the family. They're letting the family direct.
Hell, so the family's running the trial. They're running the show. They're the judge.
Yeah, they're running everything. The judges are doing whatever the family says. So they're going to end up in the state pen, and I believe there are hits on their life. I mean, I have no doubt. Travis and Greg have no doubt. I know the state's going to try to keep them alive, but they cannot guarantee their safety is what I've heard.
No,
and I don't think they have ways of me. What is it called when you can't sue they're bonded out of lawsuits or something. You know, I don't know what it's called, but
it's slipping my mind too. Yeah, you know, Miss McMichael, tell the audience. Besides, I know you always give me your website. What can Blood River Radio do? What can our listening audience, our brotherhood, our family, what can we do? Is there anything?
I need contributions, and we got that. If you go to my website, it'll tell you where to contribute. I still owe like $70,000 of state attorneys here. I've used every bit of my savings. I'm 63, and I will never be able to retire. I'm working still full time. I am looking, you know, for some. I don't know about lawyers being assigned. I mean, we're getting lawyers assigned us because we're indigent, and I just don't know about that. It didn't turn out very well federally, you know. I just don't know.
No, it doesn't.
I would love to be able to hire a lawyer that's going to work for my family. That's going to believe in us. Now, my state lawyers were wonderful. They fought as hard as they could fight, but their hands were tied. They fought really hard.
Their hands were tied. Absolutely. If anybody followed it, not only what you said, if they go in and look at this information, it was a slam dunk. You know, Ms. McMichael, before you go, and you've got my phone number. You call me anytime, day or night. Before you go, we have a fellow, Rand Owen, who's been listening the whole time. I'd like to see if he has a question or comment to make before you go, Ms. Lee. Well, Rand, do you have anything to say, brother? Rand, you still there? Well, I guess Rand dropped off.
Hello?
He dropped off. Oh, okay. Would you have any comments to make to Miss Leah or any questions before she goes?
Oh, absolutely. I do. I have a lot to say, but I don't have time. But what I want to say is about this Vic Reynolds, who she's mentioned and she's very familiar with. One of the things that he says that he goes by is tell the truth, make a decision. If I mess up, this is his words. Yeah. If I mess up, I need to fess up. And Miss McMichaels, he also says that this was the defining moment in his career. What would you say to Mr. Reynolds, Miss McMichaels?
You need to fess up, because what in 24 hours, what kind of information the GBI get that the Glynn County Police Department already didn't have? They got nothing.
Amen.
They got nothing. No more. No more blood, no DNA, no fingerprints, nothing. They went and interviewed the neighborhood.
I don't mean to talk over you, but what changed? That's the question. What changed?
What changed? Nothing changed. They came down here to arrest them. That was it. So fess up, Reynolds. Fess up.
Well, I will say worse more than that, but I'll keep my mouth shut. But, you know, I want to call this Reynolds dude. They probably won't. None of them will ever answer the phone when you call them. They have their little flunkies.
Oh, and let me put this in there, too, real quick. The GBI agent that was in charge of this was Richard Dial, and that's Vic Reynolds' nephew.
Can I say one more thing?
Go ahead, Rand. Mm-hmm.
This guy's been moved up to a judge.
Yeah, for sure.
Think about how many repeated offenders of rape that he's going to turn loose that could go out there and rape white girls. Think about that.
No doubt about it. Well, people, thank you so much, Miss Leah. Like you say, you call me anytime, day or night. People can send us emails, eddie@bloodriverradio.com. And anytime you want to come on, any updates, let us know. We're going to pray our guts out. God, we need some help from God Almighty. Well, people, you heard it. all you libtards out there, come July the 4th, when you're out there waving your Yankee flag, be thinking about this. This can happen to you next, people, and there is no justice for white people in this nation. Good night, everybody. Good night. Good night, Miss Leah. Good night, Rand. Good night, Cam. And good night, dear Blood River Radio audience. God bless you. Same time, same place next week with the Sailors on Hour 1.